everyone. You're listening to Sweet Juicy Talk with DJ Sugar. I apologize that there was no show last week due to a volleyball game, but I'm back now and I have a great show for you today. So basically more gossip, more beauty tips, fashion, food, what not to eat, what's good, and relationship articles. So I hope everyone is having a great week so far. I am, even though it's super busy with school and work and my internship, but I'm hanging in there and I hope everyone else is as well. So let's get started. So for the past couple weeks, we've been following up on Amanda Bynes. Basically, she just had like misdemeanors of hit and run and DUIs. I think around 4 months ago, she pleaded not guilty to a DUI. But now Amanda Bynes insists that she is an innocent woman. So she pleaded not guilty for two misdemeanor counts of hit and run. And yeah, so I got this article from OMG from Yahoo. It says, although a Los Angeles judge warned the actress that she should appear in court, the 26-year-old was a no-show because she has been in New York City the past week. Instead, her attorney, Richard Hutton, entered her not guilty plea on her behalf. He also refused to comment to the media on his client. Bynes may have switched coast, but New York City is proving to be just as much trouble for her. On Wednesday night, she reportedly spent 30 minutes locked in a bathroom at the Little Cupcake Bake Shop in Soho. According to Celeb Buzz, Bynes arrived at 9 p.m. and spent about 90 minutes sitting at a table wearing headphones and sunglasses before heading to the restroom. A while later, a bakery patron who happened to be a New York City firefighter grew worried and knocked on the door, but there was no response. Quote, the workers at the bakery even turned down the music to see if they could hear any noise coming from the bathroom, says an eyewitness. After 15 minutes, the store was shut down and the fireman police called and even asked if he had their permission to break down the door, fearing that the actress was in there unconscious. That's when Bynes, who spent 2 hours locked in a boutique dressing room in West Hollywood earlier this month, emerged from the bathroom telling everyone in a calm tone, excuse me, I was doing my makeup, says the eyewitness. Bynes, two hit and runs charges were handed down on September 5th and stem from incidents that occurred on April 10th and August 4th. In the first one, just 6 days after her DUI, she slammed her BMW into another car on the 101 freeway in San Fernando Valley. She did not stop. The victim gave chase, but Bynes blew through a red light. So basically, this is the story like I've told, like, I think last week or no, not last week, a couple weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago. So she just had two hit and runs and just didn't even want to deal with it. But to go back to the whole bakery incident, I find that really weird that she comes out saying, excuse me, I was doing my makeup. Doing makeup for 2 hours. I thought I was bad being in the bathroom for like 30 minutes just doing my makeup. But I don't believe her doing her makeup for 2 hours. Like, that's just ridiculous. But she's due back in court on October 19th. If convicted of the two misdemeanors, she could face up to a year in jail. And that was a story 2 weeks ago, saying that she could face up to a year in jail. So I don't know. Hopefully she figured things out and pleads guilty and just fesses up, it'll just be like less trouble for her and for everyone else. So that's the follow-up on Amanda Bynes. And we have, I have a very sad story. I read it yesterday and it just kind of made me tear up a little bit. Justin Bieber tweeted about a death of a six-year-old fan, also known as Miss Bieber. I don't know if you've seen the video. Basically, this cute little girl, six-year-old, her name is Avalana Ruth. She had some rare cancer, brain cancer, and she died. And basically, she, when she was in the hospital, she had like a pretend wedding with a cutout board of Justin Bieber. And it was really cute. But at the same, also, Justin Bieber got to meet her. They met up once and played board games and got to know each other, and they would FaceTime or iChat when they weren't together. So Justin Bieber is heartbroken after one of his youngest fans, who was better known as Miss Bieber, died of cancer. The boyfriend singer tweeted a sweet message about the Boston girl on Wednesday afternoon, saying, quote, "Just got the worst news ever. One of the greatest spirits I have ever known is gone. Please pray for her family and for her. Rest in peace, Avalana. Excuse me. I love you." And then an hour later, he also writes, "Please show respect to her and her family. Say a prayer for her and for them. I miss her." And so when I read that article and when I saw the video as well, it's really like heartbreaking, just because you can tell like she is, you know, very happy to be in his presence. And Justin Bieber is a great guy. Like, people can say, oh, Bieber is this and that, he's such a girl, blah blah blah, but I think that he has a good heart. I've always been a fan of Justin Bieber. I've loved his music, and I think who he is as a person. He doesn't really like boast. He's not really one of those like celebrities where he like flaunts and all that, but he's a good kid, and may Avalana rest in peace. She's obviously not in pain anymore, so. And the last celebrity news that I have is about The New Bachelor. I know it's one of those shows, those like trashy shows. Well, one of those classy, trashy shows. I watched The Bachelorette, the last season of Bachelorette with Emily, and how she chose Jeff over Sean. And I like Sean, but then again, I also like Jeff. And apparently, Emily cheated on Jeff with an Oakland Raiders player. I forgot his name, but yeah, she cheated on Jeff. And poor Jeff. Jeff is such a great guy, too. Like, he was all for Emily. But anyways. The New Bachelor is Sean Lowe, and he was like the runner, I guess you could say runner-up, for the upcoming season of The Bachelor. And I'm definitely going to watch the season just because I like Sean as well. He's like a country type of guy. So the Dallas businessman and entrepreneur won the hearts of fans across the country as he wooed North Carolina single mom Emily Maynard on The Bachelorette last season. Maynard sent Lowe, the second runner-up home, as she'd fallen head over heels for the Utah entrepreneur Jeff Holm, accepting his marriage proposal. He says, Lowe says, "I was standing at that rose ceremony thinking I was going to marry her. Lowe told People last July of the heartbreaking moment when Maynard sent him home. Tuesday's announcement comes after months of speculation, with casting rumors ranging from former Bachelorette Ali Fedotowsky's ex-fiance Roberto Martinez to Olympian Ryan Lochte. On the possibility of being the next Bachelor, Lowe told People at the time, "I'm an open-minded optimist, and I believe the process can work. If I found my wife, it would be worth it." So, production is already underway for the 17th season of the reality dating show, which will begin airing in January 2013. That's actually real soon. And if you want more information on the contestants, you can go visit abc.com. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching this season. I mean, I wouldn't say Sean is like the most hottest guy out there, but just from watching him on the show, he seems really chill and really like down to earth, and he seems fun to be around with. So that's that. So everyone needs to watch The Bachelor on January 2013. So if you're just tuning in, I wrapped up with my celebrity gossip. I talked about, a follow-up on Amanda Bynes. She pleaded not guilty to her misdemeanors of hit and run. A sad story about a huge fan of Justin Bieber. She died of brain cancer. And just the new Bachelor. So you're listening to DJ Sugar, Sweet and Juicy Talk. I will be right back. But when we come back, I will be talking about beauty tips, how to test every kind of makeup, which every girl should know. It's kind of hard to test out makeup, but don't go away. Ideas drifting away.
I've been everywhere, man, looking for someone. Someone who can please me, love me all night long. I've been everywhere, man, looking for you, babe.
Welcome back to Sweet Juicy Talk with DJ Sugar on radio.dominican.edu. So if you're just tuning in, I am about to talk about some beauty tips, how to test every kind of makeup. So it's from foundation, mascara, powder, eyeliner, lipstick. So hopefully this will help. I'm not always the best at like testing out my makeup and if it will look good on me. That's why I bring one of my good friends that she's really good with makeup. So I got this article on Allure. So the first kind of makeup that you should test is foundation. That's super important. So you know how you test the foundation like on your jawline, because apparently that's where like the real color is. Well, that's actually wrong. I'm actually surprised, because that's where I usually like test out my makeup. So your neck has more uniform color than your face, so start there, says a makeup artist, Troy Surratt. You'll wind up with the most natural looking color and avoid any obvious demarcations along the jawline later on. When a sample isn't available, you should bring your bottle of your favorite foundation with you and look for the closest match. But if you've already just thrown away the bottle, then read the label like before you use it, and just try to remember it, because it's almost as important as looking at the color of the bottle. And to narrow down the selection by finish, like if you've already chosen your color, you want to choose a foundation that's right for your skin. So if your skin is oily like mine, or a combination, you want to look for formulas that say they're balancing matte or cream to powder. And I don't know what mine says. I should take a look, because I use L'Oreal True Blend. And I think it says oil free, but I'm not quite sure. If your complexion is normal or dry, you want to pick satin cream or luminous finishes. And now you want to choose the shade. So if your skin has a pink undertone, you want pick shades with names like ecru, beige, or cream. But if you've got golden undertones, look for ivory, buff, or tan. So I think for me, since I'm more of like a darker skin, like in between, like I'm not super dark, nor I'm like super light. I'm just kind of in between, because I use natural beige. So, and rule out everything that looks pink in the bottle. It will look obvious against almost any skin tone. Almost everyone has some yellow in their skin, so that's good to know. The next kind of makeup you should try out is concealer. So try on the shade that you're drawn to at first, as well as the ones that are the one shade lighter and darker. Swipe them on your inner wrist to find your best color match and wash well afterwards. Consider investing in two concealers. Peach and pink-based liquid concealers work on under-eye circles but won't do much for pimples. Yellow-based solid ones, so those are the kind that come in compacts or pots, cover blemishes but cake under the eyes. So you won't see like so much of the darker under eye circles. And when sample isn't available, you should read the label and err on the light side. Most drugstore concealers come in light, medium, and dark, which is no-brainer. So if the shade is a little too light for you, just dab some of your foundation on top. Look for buttery yellow tinted shades to cover zits. So look for words like brightening and highlighting signal good under eye concealers. Unfortunately, I don't use concealer. I should. Because, like, as of right now, I'm still learning how to use makeup. I just don't have, I don't have all the makeup out there. Like, I just use, you know, foundation, my eyeliner, my mascara, some blush, and some bronzer. But other than that, like, I don't do much when it comes to makeup. The next kind of makeup you should try out is powder. So everyone should be using the same type of powder, which is translucent. You want something with absolutely no color. So brush a generous amount on the back of your hands and it should become invisible. You can use it over your eyeshadow to make it last longer and under your eyes to stop mascara from smudging. And if sampling isn't available, look for words like invisible and translucent. And if not, then maybe that's not the right powder for you. I don't use powder. It just kind of makes your face a little like lighter and makes the makeup last longer. It'll stay on longer. The next is blush, which I do use. So try it on the back of your hand. But if you usually wear foundation, make sure you wear it to the store. Blush will adhere differently to clean skin. Which is true, because it'll make it look weird if you just wear blush but no like foundation. And when sampling isn't available, a cream formula is the safest bet since they look more natural than powders. Choose pink or rose shades for fair skin and raisin or mauve for medium to dark complexions. Don't be afraid of colors that look bright in the packaging. They will often sheer out on your skin. I've actually never heard of a cream formula for blush, which is weird. I've only used the powder kind. Huh, interesting. The next is a highlighter. Use a big fluffy brush to try powder formulas on the back of your hand and your fingers to blend in cream or liquid highlighters. Hold your hand up to the light to make sure there's no obvious shimmer or glitter. And if it looks cheesy on your hand, it'll definitely look worse on your face. So, and champagne is the easiest shade for all skin tones to pull off. So that's just kind of like a light, glittery, creamy color. And when a sample isn't available, you want to try to find words that has radiant, glow, glimmering, and shimmer. Glimmering and shimmer should not be one that you should buy. And I don't use highlighter. And I don't really know what it's used for, but I've heard of it. All these things I'm learning. And the next is bronzer, which I do use. So matte bronzers are the best at mimicking a natural tan. So don't waste time trying anything with shimmer. Brush bronzer on the inside of your arm if you can't see freckles through it. And when sampling isn't available, no matter how much you love looking tan, never choose a shade that's darker than you would get naturally after a week in the sun. Because if you're fair skin, that usually means pale beige with pink undertones. And if your complexion is dark, you want to get a deep tone with gold undertones. Because the bronzer I use, it's on the darker side. Because it wouldn't look nice if you're light skin and you're using dark a dark bronzer, just it'd be very off looking. The next is eyeshadow. I use eyeshadow sometimes. I'm not the best at it because it takes a lot of like patience to mix in colors and put one color on top of the other, and I don't even know. I've tried it many times, but I usually just use darker colors. But when you're trying to test it at the store, use a cotton swab to test shadow on the back of your hand. The oils on your finger can change the shadow's color, so swipe some on your inner wrist too. Bend it in a few times to see if the shadow will crease. And if sampling isn't available, you want to pick a everyday neutral color. So like a shimmery pink, beige for fair skin, and a warm brown with gold flecks for medium or dark complexions. The fairer you are, the sheer the shade should be. So it's true, like, since like I'm on the medium dark complexion, I use the darker colors. But I also use like just a beige if I just want like kind of a natural look. You won't even see it though. It's just for a natural, like, I guess, highlight in a way. The next is eyeliner, which I use eyeliner quite a lot. I use liquid eyeliner for like my top eyelid, and then I use pencil eyeliner for the bottom, like for my waterline. So to test it out, you want to draw a line on the back of your hand, wait a second, and then rub with your finger. A little bit of smudging is a good sign, but if the liner smears all over, it'll wind up just smudging all over your eye and under your eye, so that's not good. And if a sample isn't available, eyeliner is one of the most easiest products to buy without testing. Most colors are true to their shade names, so cream pencil liners usually won't tug, but if you have oily lids, look for pencils advertised as firm or traditional. They are less likely to budge. Stay away from waterproof formulas if you have sensitive skin. And only use waterproof eyeliner if you're going to wear it like the whole day. Because at the end, it's hard to take off. I use Maybelline Stiletto liquid eyeliner, and it's pretty good. And I do have oily eyelids as well, but my eyeliner stays on for the whole day. It's not waterproof, so yeah. And then for a pencil eyeliner, I buy it from Sephora, just a Sephora brand, and it usually lasts for a while. It doesn't last the whole day, so you have to keep like reapplying, but it's not too bad. The next is mascara. So when you can test it out at the store, you don't want to test it out because it's kind of just, it's one of those sanitary type of things. When it comes to mascara, even if disposable wands are available, you can't be sure if someone before has like double dipped it in before. So it's kind of just like a sanitary type of thing. So to pick, when a sample isn't available, you want to pick a formula that's curling, volumizing, or lengthening, but not all three. Black is the safest bet, and black is classy. It looks good on everyone. But if you want to get adventurous, blue and green look pretty against brown eyes, and purple complements green or blue eyes. I just use black mascara. I have been using volumizing, but also I use lengthening, but they're not the same ones. So the lengthening I have is from Almay, and then I think L'Oreal or Maybelline is for volumizing mascara. But both work pretty good. The lengthening actually does work. You just have to give it some time The next is lipstick. So you want to test it on pads of your fingertips, not the back of your hand, which everyone does for some reason. So for, it's just if you, just to test it on the pads of your fingertips for the truest representation of how the shade will look on your lips. I never knew that. And when sampling isn't available, you don't want to overthink, especially like if you think it's going to look bad on you or whatever. You want to keep in mind that matte shades are highly pigmented. Sheer ones are glossy, and satin will give you a lot of color payoff with a slight sheen. I don't wear lipstick a lot, but like when I do buy lipstick, I try not to get outrageous colors. I just kind of get it like just where it kind of where it looks like I'm wearing lipstick, but it's not super bright or out there. And we are at the top of the hour, which means I have some quick news for you. I don't know if you've heard, but actor Johnny Lewis, who appeared on Sons of Anarchy and dated Katy Perry, was found dead in Los Angeles in what can only be described as a bizarre double death. Basically, the bodies of a 28-year-old Lewis and an 81-year-old Catherine Davis were found at Davis's Los Feliz home Wednesday, today at 10:40 a.m. when law enforcement arrived to investigate a 911 call about a woman screaming. And then Lewis, whose lifeless body was found in the driveway of the home, is a suspect in the elderly woman's murder. He allegedly beat the woman to death, became involved in a scuffle with two men at a neighboring house, assaulting one of them, and then returned to Davis's home where he fell or jumped off the roof. And so they're still investigating, you know, if there was drugs or alcohol behind it. So it's still to be determined. And he also dated Katy Perry, and apparently a lot of her songs were about him. So hopefully we can figure out that situation. I will take a quick break, but when we come back, I will talk a little bit more about testing the kinds of makeup and then how to wear a bra, which is what every woman should need to know. So don't go away.
Bring the beat in.
Welcome back to Sweet Juicy Talk with DJ Sugar on radio.dominican.edu. And I'm almost done. I'm about to wrap up how to test every kind of makeup. And the last one is lip gloss. I haven't used lip gloss in the longest time. I remember when lip gloss was like popular when I was back in eighth grade, high school. Now it's just more of like, I'm just going to use my chapstick because I like my Burt's Bees. But if you do buy a lip gloss and you want to test it out, you want to swipe it on the pad of your fingertip and touch fingers together before committing. That way you can rule out formulas that are too tacky or too goopy. So kind of just like if it's too slimy or I don't know. And if a sample isn't available, you want a lot of color payoff. So look for the word liqueur, L-A-C-Q-U-E-R, liqueur, on the package. If you're in for it, if you're in for the shine, you want to go with traditional gloss. So that's a personal preference. So our next segment is the do's and don'ts of wearing a bra. And bras are important because it supports the chest. But it also does more than that. So for example, you don't want to wear a bra under a very sheer lace shirt. A tank or crop cami looks much cuter. So, yeah, it doesn't look good. 'Cause I've actually worn a bra under a lace shirt, but it wasn't a super lacy shirt. It was more of just like a more covered lace. I really wouldn't know how to describe it. But yeah, it doesn't look good if it's very lacy and you're just wearing a bra. No. But you do want to wear a strapless bra that blends with the pattern if you're going to wear lace. Which kind of looks better, I would say. The next is don't pair a dark bra with a white shirt. It might not look dramatic in the mirror, but throwing on a cami ensures you're appropriately covered. Yeah, I'm kind of like iffy about that. Like, some girls can pull it off, like if they wear a dark bra and a light shirt, but I don't know, it looks better if your bra isn't shown. Like, I can understand, like, if you can wear a nude color bra with like a light colored shirt so you won't really see it, but if you wear a dark bra, like a black one and a creamy shirt, doesn't look that good. The next is you want to do pick a dress and shirt with thick straps as often as possible. If you have a larger chest, you'll be more comfortable if you can wear a full coverage bra with great support. You want to go for a stick-on bra cups if your dress is full of crazy cutouts, instead of trying to find a bra that stays hidden behind the solid parts of the bodice, which doesn't look good. You just want to stick kind of to like a natural looking, if you have a dress that's very like low cut, that reveals your chest a lot more, or like your back, because it doesn't look good if your bra is showing. It just kind of looks tacky in a way. Next, you want to choose a bandeau or a strapless bra, or I guess go completely without if you're rocking extreme spaghetti straps. So in this situation, there's no excuse trying to make your bra blend to the minuscule strips of fabric, because it just won't work out. If your strap is super thin, and obviously like bra straps are like, you know, they're pretty thick, It just won't look good. It'll look, I mean, like, people do it, but it just, it looks better without it. Just wear, either just wear like a strapless bra or a bandeau. Don't wear a regular strap bra with a racer black back or halter top. Invest in good convertible bra that will work with all styles. Do hide your straps, your bra straps, when wearing halter tops. I don't know if people wear halter tops still. Actually, they do, but I don't think on a normal basis. Next is, don't suffocate yourself with a too small bra, or else it looks weird. Like, you want to find a bra that's just perfect for your boob size. Like, if you wear like a too small bra, your boobs kind of just pop out. It's just like, it doesn't look that great. But then if you wear a bra that's too big, it's kind of just like, oh, it's like you have nothing. Do wear a special bra that hook around your waist for backless dresses. That's really interesting. I've never heard of a special bra that you can hook around your waist. That's pretty cool. Next is, don't wear a full coverage bra with a low cut shirt. Yeah, it just doesn't look good. Next is, do use a stick-on cup or special bras for deep Vs within wearing plunging neckline. So that's what I was saying before. If you have a really like, if your dress has a really like low cut, you want to wear those stick-on cups or special bras. But I would stay with the stick-on cups, because I don't think you can't really find special bras. Like, next is, don't wear a wide bra under a sheer top. Nude is always the best way to go if you're unsure. And that's true. It's so true. Because you can see, I mean, either way, you'll see your bra. But if you wear it nude, you won't see it as much. The last is, do wear a seamless bra under silky fabrics that cling to you. So that's good. So if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Sweet Juicy Talk with DJ Sugar, and I just wrapped up talking about the do's and don'ts of wearing a bra and how it looks good when you wear it with dresses or with t-shirts, whatever looks good. So the next is my favorite, which is food. I'm actually hungry right now. But this one isn't so much about like being like wanting to eat it. It's more of the 10 worst fast food meals. So it's something you should know about. But then some people are just kind of like whatever about it. Like, they'll still eat it. I mean, it's kind of like me. Like, I'll read things online like, oh, you should eat this, then that. And I'm just like, okay. But then I'll still eat whatever I want. But it's still good to know. Because sometimes once you know something, like, for example, one of the worst 10 fast food meals is the Domino's Chicken Carbonara Bread Bowl Pasta. It's 1,480 calories, 56 grams of fat, and 2,220 milligrams of sodium. Like, if you tell that to someone, they'll, like, you know, if they usually order it, they'll probably have, like, a second. They'll think twice about it, saying like, you know, maybe I'll get something else. But it's always good to know. There's no harm in knowing. So yeah, that was one of the worst fast food meals, the Domino's Chicken Carbonara Bread Bowl Pasta. I've actually tasted it before, like freshman year with my old roommate. And it tasted pretty decent. It wasn't amazingly good, but it was all right. But if you want something similar to that, you should eat Domino's medium hand tossed pizza with grilled chicken, green peppers, and shredded Parmesan. in place of regular cheese blend. Yeah, so you should try that than the bread bowl pasta. The next is the McDonald's big breakfast with large biscuit, hotcakes, butter, and syrup. So it's 1,370 calories, 64.5 grams of fat, 2,335 milligrams of sodium, and 49 grams of sugar. So this meal has more than two-thirds of the calories you should eat in a day. And second, it has more than a day's worth of saturated fat. And with the pancake syrup, more sugar than two packages of Reese's peanut butter cups. So that's quite a meal right there. It's a one-day meal. But instead, you should try the Egg McMuffin with hash brown, which is obviously like a smaller portion, but it's similar to it. The next is KFC half spicy crispy chicken meal with macaroni and cheese, potato wedges, and biscuit. I don't even know if, okay, that is a meal, but that sounds like a family meal right there. So it's 1,610 calories, 98 grams of fat, 4,340 milligrams of sodium. So half a deep fried chicken is not good already, especially if KFC gives it to you, because they just deep fry that in oil. And that means two drumsticks, two thighs, all dark meat. And dark meat isn't the most healthiest meat. White meat is better. But I like dark meat because it's a lot more juicier than white meat, because white meat is dry. Yeah. And not only are these the cheapest cuts, but they're also the fattiest. So all told, this meal has close to 80% of your day's calories and more fat and sodium than you should eat an entire day. So instead, you should eat two honey barbecue snackers with mashed potatoes and gravy, which is like more than half of the calories. Next is Burger King's large triple whopper with cheese value meal with fries and Coke. And that's 2,110 calories, 104 grams of fat, 2,270 milligrams of sodium. So that's a lot. As just the name of it, Triple Whopper, is crazy enough. So you should eat the Whopper Junior, no mayo, and a 6-piece chicken fries. And then the next is Quiznos Tuna Melt with Cheetos. And that's 1,620 calories, 111 grams of fat, and 2,070 milligrams of sodium. So I think the reason why it has a lot of calories is because of the mayo they put. And mayo has a lot of fat in it. So instead, you should try two Roadhouse Steak Sammies and Baked Lays. The next is Wendy's Dave's Hot and Juicy 3/4 pound triple with bacon with small fries and small Coke. So that's 1,540 calories, 83 grams of fat, 2,370 milligrams of sodium. So that's three slices of cheese, three hamburger patties, and three strips of bacon. Yeah, that's just really not healthy at all. Like, that's crazy. Not only is it loaded with sodium and saturated fat, it's also one of the trans fattiest burgers on any big fast food menu in the country. That's actually a lot. Three, because I was actually thinking of getting a triple like In-N-Out burger, but I'm kind of scared because I'm already like full enough with a double. So, but instead of eating that triple bacon and all that, you should just try the Wendy's Junior hamburger, small chili, and medium iced tea. Next is Dairy Queen's chicken strip basket with country gravy. That's 1,370 calories, 57 grams of fat, and 3,650 milligrams of sodium. That's quite a lot. I mean, I like chicken strips. The reason why is just because it's just deep fried. So that's why it has so much calories. But instead, you should try the Dairy Queen original cheeseburger and side salad with fat-free Italian dressing. The side salad doesn't sound too appetizing. The cheeseburger does. Next is Hardee's Monster Biscuit Large Hash Browns. I've never actually seen or eaten at a Hardee's before. But that biscuit large hash round is 1,170 calories, 79 grams of fat, and 2,800 milligrams of sodium. And mind you, this is a breakfast food, and that's like already your day's worth of calories and fat and whatnot. So instead, you should try the Frisco breakfast sandwich. The next is Long John Silver's fish combo basket. It's actually not a lot of calories, but it is a lot of sodium. It's 830 calories, 46 grams of fat, and 2,040 milligrams of sodium. And so they deep fry it. And so instead you should try the fresh side grilled tilapia entree. That's better. And then last but not least, worst fast food is Carl's Jr. Double Guacamole Bacon Burger with Large Fries. And that's 1,530 calories, 95 grams of fat, 3,240 milligrams of sodium. And guacamole is a healthy condiment, but it's still high in calories. That means you should probably shouldn't be eating it in a double portion, and you certainly shouldn't eat it off a Latisse work of a bacon. So you should instead try Carl's Jr. Charboiled Barbecue Sandwich and a garden side salad with balsamic vinaigrette. So that's that. So hopefully if you ever order those, you should try the alternative, but it's up to you. I'm actually really hungry right now, and I'm excited to go to a Cream tonight and eat some good ice cream sandwiches. So I'm looking forward to that. So last segment is the relationship dating advice, however you would like to call it. I always find that relationship and dating is interesting. You know, I've been in a few and, you know, you learn from it and you grow from it. So the article I got is from Cosmopolitan, and it's 8 words that give a liar away. So the first word is left, L-E-F-T. When he uses this word, think I left the bar at 6 versus I went home at 6. There's some kind of drama involved. Maybe he got stuck in traffic or is hiding something he did that he shouldn't have. So he left instead of I went home at 6. Next word is never. The big thing to look out for is when he says never when no will do. It's a sign he's overcompensating. So for example, if you ask, did you just look at the girl's butt? And he says, never. Because that means like never, instead of just no. The next is that, never, it depends on how he uses it. If he puts that in front of a noun, like that woman or that money, it's a subconscious attempt for him to distance himself from the word. This is a common trick of manipulators. True. That is true. The next is would. If he skips no and goes straight to I would never do something like that when talking about a past event, be wary. For example, are you still talking to your ex? I would never do that to you. Would never suggest that he plans to do it in the near future. That could be true too. Next word is yes, ma'am. If your guy is a southern gentleman, then this doesn't apply. But if he suddenly says ma'am to you out of nowhere, be cautious. It's a sign that he's feeling stressed and knows he's in trouble. I mean, there's other alternative words like, I don't know, miss. Yeah, I guess miss would be another one. Next couple words is by the way. Liars use phrases like this to try to minimize what they say next. But usually it's what most important to the story. Pay extra attention to what he says afterward. Next is but, B-U-T. Liars usually try to downplay what they say with this word. So pay attention when he says something like, I know this is going to sound strange, but, or I know you think I'm lying, but, there's always a but. You gotta listen to the but. And last is, why would I do that? It's a favorite stalling line of liars, so they can buy a little time to work out what to say next. These phrases also fit the bill. What kind of person do you think I am? Are you calling me a liar? And I knew this was going to happen to me. This just doesn't go for guys. It also goes for girls. Because I think when it comes to relationship, it's not always like guy's problem or it's always the guy's fault. Like, you know, girls play a part too. So I'm very equal when it comes to relationships. And so that is the end of Sweet Juicy Talk for now, for this week. But tune in next week on Thursdays, right here, 4:30 to 5:30 on radio.dominican.edu. And I want to, shout out to The Habit. You want to visit their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheHabitDaily. Or visit them on Twitter, or follow them on Twitter, on at The Habit Daily, or visit the official website, thehabitdaily.com. It's a cool website. It's the online version of the newspaper we had on campus. I checked it out. Cool page, a lot of news. It's very simple to follow. So check it out, and I will post a link on that on my blog. Follow that. It's blogspot.com/sweetjuicytalk. So follow me and read all about what I gotta say. So tune in next week, 4:30 to 5:30, Sweet Juicy Talk with me, DJ Sugar, on radio.dominican.edu.
Always greener on the other side. It's green where you water it, so I know we got issues, baby. True, true, true. But I'd rather work on this with you than to go ahead and start with someone new. As long as you love me.
We could be starving, yeah. We could be homeless, we could